U.S. airstrikes in Syria.
The war against ISIS inside Syria is just beginning.
New barrier outside the White House.
The type that police use for crowd control.
Climate change talks at the UN and in the streets.
We demand a global climate treaty now.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. The United States opened a new front, as promised, in the battle against the terror group ISIS. Warplanes and cruise missiles pounded targets for the first time in Syria. The Assad government, which the U.S. opposes, was told beforehand. And five Arab countries also took part: Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. President Obama is due to speak about this new escalation in a couple of hours. Pentagon correspondent David Martin.
There really were two sets of targets in these attacks. ISIS bases in northeastern Syria. They went after three locations there, and they attempted to hit training compounds, headquarters facilities, storage facilities, a finance center, supply trucks, and armed vehicles. There was also an equally significant set of strikes against another terrorist group known as Khorasan, and they are believed to be plotting attacks directly against the United States.
CBS News security contributor Michael Morrell says hitting that al-Qaeda-linked group is significant.
The U.S. Central Command's press release said imminent threat plotting. That's what we were trying to disrupt. What that means to me as an intelligence officer is that we had detailed intelligence on attack plotting either in the United States or in Western Europe, or in both. And so these eight strikes in northwestern Syria, a long way from the ISIS targets, very, very important. We hit explosive manufacturing facilities, we hit training sites, we hit command and control sites, all in an attempt to disrupt Khorasan.
By the tens of thousands, Syrians have been crossing the border into Turkey, fleeing ISIS. CBS's Holly Williams has more on their plight.
The refugees told us they're relieved the U.S. is finally intervening in Syria, and a conflict that's already cost nearly 200,000 lives. Ibrahim Mustafa fled ISIS 3 days ago with his family.
Obama.
We just wish Obama had started the airstrikes even earlier, he said. Maybe then we wouldn't be here.
Also in the Middle East, Israel's military says it shot down a Syrian fighter jet that infiltrated its airspace over the Golan Heights. The crew managed to parachute safely into Syria. Israeli special forces killed two Palestinians suspected in the abduction and slaying of three Israeli teens back in June. That incident was the spark for the Gaza war over the summer. 4 days after the White House security breach, a new barrier has gone up at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. CBS's Peter Mayer has had a look.
There's an extra layer of security in place here outside the White House. It is a waist-to-chest-high metal barrier, the type police often use for crowd control. It's linked like a necklace here about 10 feet away from the existing black wrought iron fence that was breached last week. This is the most visible of precautions taken by the Secret Service following that major security breakdown. Peter Mayer, CBS News, outside the White House.
Friday, fence jumper Omar Gonzalez, an Iraq war vet, was also arrested in Virginia 2 months ago. He was allegedly armed and had a map with the White House circle. There's a new warning about Ebola. Health officials say the deadly virus could become as routine as the flu or malaria in West Africa. CBS's Jim Shenevy.
The World Health Organization has issued some dire predictions about the Ebola outbreak in West Africa, warning that the number of cases of the deadly disease could hit 21,000 within 6 weeks unless efforts to curb the outbreak are ramped up. Since the first cases were reported some 6 months ago, the total caseload has hit 5,800, and experts believe they will continue to increase exponentially, sickening people for years unless there are better control efforts.
More than 2,800 Ebola patients have died. President Obama's pledging some new help for other countries looking to cut greenhouse gas emissions. He speaks later today at a climate change summit at the UN. CBS's Heather Bosch has more on the New York street demonstrations leading up to the event.
People from all over the country have traveled here, many joining demonstrations, to bring their message to the UN.
It's running past time for them to take action.
A commitment, they say, from nations to cut greenhouse gas emissions, which they say are already having an impact on the environment and their lives.
Climate change looks like Hurricane Sandy. It looks like Katrina. It looks like drought in California.
They worry our world will become unlivable in the future. but say the time to act is now.
Because we're reaching tipping points beyond which we have no power to change.
Heather Bosch, CBS News, New York.
There's a new development on what have become known as tax inversions, moves by American companies to avoid taxes. CBS's Bill Whitney.
The Treasury Department is imposing new rules to make inversions less lucrative and to make it harder for companies to relocate overseas. President Obama says he hopes this will reduce the number of companies trying to exploit this loophole, but he's also calling on Congress to reform the tax code and reduce the corporate tax rate.
General Mills, the giant company behind everything from Cheerios to Häagen-Dazs, could move today to remove genetically modified organisms from its products. CBS's Jim Taylor on the controversy over them.
Proponents of genetically modified organisms tout benefits from environmental to economic. Who'd be against such a thing?
The organic food lobby is against GMOs for a few reasons. The number one reason is money, of course.
Justin Danhoff, National Center for Public Policy Research. Those opposed say not enough is known about GMOs. So Scott Faber of Just Label It says at least do just that.
It's not a skull and crossbones. It's not a warning.
What it is, he says, is transparency.
Everyone should have the right to know whether or not there are GMOs in their food.
Jim Taylor, CBS News.
A new report finds more Americans than ever have never married. We're live with CBS's Vicki Barker.
The Pew Research Center says we're marrying later or living together outside of marriage. Result, 42 million American adults, a record 20%, have never married, more than double the rate back in 1960. The trend's even more dramatic among African Americans. 36% have never married, four times the rate in 1960. Steve?
A separate Pew report suggests backing for same-sex marriage could be leveling off after years on the rise. The poll finds a five-point drop since February, with support for gay marriage now at 49%. Police trying to solve the disappearance of a University of Virginia student have zeroed in on their person of interest. CBS's Jim Krasula has more.
Police have now searched Jesse Matthews' apartment twice. Charlottesville Police Captain Gary Pleasance.
Waiting to hear from the state crime lab as to what analysis they may have from any evidence we obtain.
Investigators believe the 32-year-old man who works in the emergency room at the University of Virginia Medical Center is the last person to be seen with Hannah Graham. The 18-year-old UVA co-ed has been missing a week and a half. She's the fourth young woman to disappear in the Charlottesville area in the past 5 years. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
A SpaceX cargo ship arrived with new equipment at the International Space Station a few hours ago, included the first 3D printer in space. It's a test model, but NASA hopes one day it can be used to crank out spare parts. That's the World News Roundup for Tuesday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.